Ephesians chapter 5. Now the word here is to true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to those that Paul has been speaking to the whole way through the book. When he began in chapter 1, he described us as those that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, blessed us with all blessings in Christ, and then predestinated us to the adoption of children. And Christ came forth and redeemed us by His blood. That's who Christ laid down His life for, those God chose. And then in chapter 2, He described us as those who were walking in darkness, those who were children of disobedience, just like every other sinner in this world. And the only one that made the difference is God, who was rich in His mercy to us. With His great love wherewith He loved us, He sent the Word to us, and by grace, by His light, by His gift of faith, He regenerated us, He made us children of God, and by His gift of faith, He brought us to Christ and brought the blessings of Christ into our heart. And so we're no longer children of disobedience. We're of the household of God, and He dwells in His people in spirit. Then in chapter 3, Paul said he did this through preaching. And he spoke about how that God called him to preach the gospel. And this gospel is so important because He called him to make all God's people to see. And to see, you have to have light. You got to have light to see. You can't see with darkness. You got to have light to see. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is light. And so important, Paul suffered imprisonment rather than cease to declare the truth of Christ. And then he told us in Ephesians 4, he says, now you've been given this great privilege of being called into the body of Christ to hold forth the word of life, to hold forth the word of light. He says, so therefore, don't walk anymore as you once did, as children of darkness. He said, put off the darkness and walk as children of light. And then in chapter 5, he began to get more specific in when he spoke to us, and he said this. Back up there in verse 6, he spoke of the children of disobedience. Now there he's talking about the children of disobedience themselves. And he says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. And then you drop down to our text in verse 11, and he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He said, don't be a partaker with them. And now he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He says, but rather, reprove them. It means, but rather, bring the unfruitful works of darkness to light. Shine light on them. Shine light on them. Now here's the point. We can never bring sinners to the light of Christ by fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather, the way you reprove the works of darkness is by walking as children of light. Now that seems simple enough. But now we're going to understand it a little better, I hope, by the time we get to the end of this message. First of all, verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. There are four things, primarily, that are involved in having fellowship, or that are involved with not having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Number one, obviously, do not do them. Don't do them. That's obvious enough. Number two, don't be an accessory to them. And there's a lot of ways we can be an accessory to unfruitful works of darkness. For instance, by provoking somebody to unfruitful works of darkness. That makes you an accessory. Or by consenting to them. By simply not speaking against them, sometimes you consent to them. If you're with somebody, go along with somebody that's engaging in unfruitful works of darkness, you're consenting to those. You're consenting to them. And so that makes you an accessory. Another way is by not preventing them or repressing them. Eli became guilty became an accessory to the sins of his sons because he didn't try to prevent them. He didn't repress them at all. And then you can become an accessory by applauding the works of darkness. Sometimes young people, I'm talking little people, young people, very young people, they'll hear adults laughing about how somebody got the upper hand on somebody else in a sinful way. Maybe they're an underdog or something. You know how we love the underdog. And you kind of applaud them for what they did and what have you. And the young person thinks, well, that must be good. That must be how you ought to walk. Are you keep talking about somebody that maybe is a relative in your family and you sort of speak of them in a favorable light when the things that they do are really sinful. And a young person grows up thinking, I want to be like them. That's applauding sin. That makes you an accessory to sin. And then by not speaking against it, that makes us accessory to sin. Those are ways you can be accessory to the unfruitful works of darkness. And then look, thirdly, a way that we don't have fellowship is by avoiding the appearance of sin. As Paul said, avoid the appearance of evil. Even the appearance. If it just makes somebody, gives them the impression that you're joining with the unfruitful works of darkness, it'll lead them to do it. So he said just to abstain from even the appearance of evil. And then a fourth way that we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness is by detesting them, by hating them in our hearts and in our affection. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said to the Ephesians in Revelation 2. He said, this thou hast. Thou hatest the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He said, you hate their works, and I also hate their works. Now, those are ways you don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And by him saying that about the Nicolaitans, that's probably what Paul is mostly speaking about here in Ephesians. That was a religious group. And their unfruitful works of darkness were religious acts. It was ways of trying to get others to follow them and their God. And so these unfruitful works of darkness can be immoral sin or they can be religious sin. Either way. But they're unfruitful works of darkness. Now, when you see how much is involved in not having any fellowship with these works of darkness, doesn't it make you, as a believer, want to pray like David did and pray, Lord, cleanse thou me from secret sins. There's sins I don't even know I'm guilty of. These things make us see how easily we have fellowship with that which God hates. And we don't hate sin nearly like God hates sin or as we ought to hate sin. And then the second thing it reminds us of is how holy our Savior was when He walked this earth. He always pleased the Father. He never had any fellowship with the works of darkness whatsoever. His walk and His speech reproved the workers of darkness and their works constantly. That's why they hated Him so. And then the third thing we see here in this is how much of our sin that our Savior bore when He bore all the sin of all His people. Not just the sin we know and the sin we see, but sin we don't even have a clue about. And that from all His people. Now, that's the first thing. Then notice this. He calls these works unfruitful. Unfruitful. Sin produces nothing good. It produces nothing beneficial at all. It produces shame and it produces death. In Romans 6, Paul said this, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You think of a thorn bush. Think of a thorn bush. A spiritually dead sinner is a thorn bush. That's what we were when we were spiritually dead. We were like a thorn bush. Christ said, do men gather grapes of thorns? Do you get fruit off of thorns? There are no fruit from thorns. And that's what spiritually dead sinners are. No matter how moral, no matter how religious, they're the same as the most evil sinner. Because all that we could produce were unfruitful darkness. That's all we could produce when we were dead in sin. Why is that? Because all the works of an unregenerate sinner, even when they're moral works, they puff up, they exalt the sinner, and they completely dishonor God. That's all these works do when you're dead in your sins. And by teaching others, leading others in unfruitful works of darkness, and making others think they can be saved by those works, they do harm to your neighbor as well as harm to you. And then underneath all of it, while you're doing all these moral works, which are totally unfruitful, underneath all of it, the heart is still immoral. The heart's still wicked and full of sin and evil against God and against men. When we were dead in sins, everything we did, everything we attempted to do to find acceptance with God by the works of the law, they were unfruitful works of darkness. Everything. They were the same as the sins of breaking the law. Why is that? It's because we were guilty in Adam. And it's because we had a sin nature that was dead and was enmity against God and could in no way be in subjection to the law of God. So the only thing that could be done for us to be saved, was to be saved in light, to be saved in truth. That's the only thing that could be done. What had to be done? First of all, our old man had to be thoroughly convicted and punished according to the justice of the law. That had to be, in other words, we had to die. Our old man had to completely die. The man, as we were born into this world, that man had to be crucified and had to die. And then we had to be created completely anew by Christ being formed in us. And that was done through the preaching of the gospel, so that what was done for us on the cross and what was done in us through the preaching of the gospel, it was all done in light. It was all done in truth. And so with this being done, Paul says this in Romans 7. He said, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." When Christ died, he completely took out of the way the law and our body of sin, because the law satisfied. We died when Christ died, and when he took our place, took our sin, took our judgment, we died under the law. It's the same as if we went to hell and suffered for eternity and it's better than that, because Christ satisfied justice. We would have never satisfied it. We'd have died forever. But he satisfied it. So that's taken out of the way. Our old man and the law is taken out of the way. That you should be married to another, even to him that's raised from the dead. And here's why: that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That's the only way we're going to bring forth fruit, is by Christ dwelling in us, leading us by the Spirit, creating fruit in us, being filled with fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's why he saved us. Paul said, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, everything we did was sin. In motion. That's what it was. And it was all by the law. Whether we were breaking the law, out and out breaking the law, or whether we were trying to keep the law and come to God by the law, it was all just the motion of sin. And what it brought forth, he says, is it did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. A thorn can't bring forth fruit. Period. But now the thorn's taken out of the way. The bramble bush is taken out of the way. And we've been made a new creature in Christ, married to Christ, our husband, and his bride's going to bring forth fruit through him. So he gets the glory. So we see this was the unfruitful works of darkness. They don't do anything but hurt the sinner. That's all they do. They produce shame. They produce sickness. They produce poverty. They produce death. They produce misery in the life to come. Unfruitfulness. That's it. All right. Next off, he tells us this. We're exhorted, instead of fellowshipping with the works of darkness, we're to reprove the works of darkness by walking as children of light. He says, verse 11 at the end, he says, but rather reprove them. Now here's the first reason, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And here's the next reason, in all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now here's the simple meaning of this word. Instead of having fellowship with somebody by joining in with the unfruitful works of darkness, whether it be in religion or whether it be in immoral sins, either way, instead of having fellowship with these works of darkness, in hopes that we can sort of gain their friendship and maybe then we can start talking to them about the light, about Christ the light, or bearing witness to them about the light, God says we're rather to reprove them by walking as children of light. The first reason is, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, there's a sense in which if you start trying to speak about sin and sinners, you know, people get up and they'll give a testimony. And they'll just go on and on about their sin and their immorality and all this stuff. And it sort of teaches sinners to sin. It's a shame to even speak of it. He says, and so joining men in the works of darkness in an attempt to befriend them, he said, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. That won't bear witness of Christ to them at all. Now, I was talking to a lady recently, and she was talking about the Lord has called her. The Lord has saved her, but she don't have a church around her. And so she was talking about going to a Bible study with a whole bunch of religious folks. And I know her thought and intent was, I can go there and I can sit there and this is a place where everybody's going to be voicing their opinion. Nobody's going to be listening to the other one. They all be thinking about what they're going to say next. And everybody putting on a vain show and talking about what they know and all this. That's not how God said He'd save people. He said He'd do it through preaching. Through preaching, you got to be quiet and you got to listen. It's humbling the way God saves. And this is the means God blesses. But I got to thinking about it. I wrote her and I talked to her about it. What I got to thinking about, though, is to go into this group situation like this where everybody's just voicing their opinion and engaging in the unfruitful works of darkness with them. That's the same as thinking you're going to bear witness of Christ by going in and sitting on a bar stool in a bar with a bunch of folks and preach Christ to them. What's the difference? What's the difference? So-called churches today are using the exact same tactics. Dress like the world. Play worldly music. Build a neon-lit club. I went home, and across the street from the First Baptist Church, there was this neon club. And I thought, how in the world did they get away with building that club right across the street from the First Baptist Church? And my sister said, the First Baptist Church built it. They built it. And what he's telling us here is, that's not going to bring a person to Christ. That's not going to show them the light by trying to engage in works of darkness with them. Listen to what Christ said. This is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, religious or moral or immoral, everyone that does evil hates the light, and neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That light's going to manifest his deeds are evil, and he won't come to that light because he don't want to manifest. Unregenerate sinners are trying to hide. They're trying to hide in the dark. They're trying to hide in secret. They're trying to hide from God. Trying to hide from their own conscience. Trying to hide from the presence of men. Sin's done in dark. And especially from those that are filled with the light of Christ and trying to hide from them because the deeds are evil. That includes the very best self-righteous man and the most horrid immoral man. They're unfruitful works of darkness. Now, unless the conscience is seared, you know this is so, unless the conscience is seared, all sin has shame and fear as a companion. Even the sin that we hide with the appearance of good. You take a man who's in religion, and he may like to boast of that sin. He may want to make sure all people see that, see what he's doing, and that's sinful. Christ said, don't do anything to be seen of men. We're out of the way. We want people to see Christ. But even when he's in there, he knows there's a certain amount of fear that he ain't done enough. He always got to keep doing some more. But the immoral sinner, he's always doing things, trying to make it so nobody sees him. Here's a test for sins. This won't work for religious works because folks want to be seen doing religious works. But for just sin, period, just ask yourself this. Would I want anybody knowing about this? Do I want God knowing about it? Do I want my parent knowing about it or my brothers and sisters or my brethren? And if the answer is no, it's sin. It's sin. Now, by God's grace, some sinners are going to be reproved and they're going to be brought to the light by His grace. But God's going to have His, He's going to use His people to do it, but He's going to have His people do it with light. With light. With light only. Now, listen carefully to verse 13. I looked at this for a long time. It's so simple, it's real difficult to understand. That's the hard thing about the Lord's Word. It's so simple that we can't hardly understand it. Now look at this, verse 13. All things, this is saying that we must reprove by light. All things that are reproved, that are made manifest, that are discovered, are made manifest by the light. Now, sinners must be reproved. That's a given. There's no way around that. That's not fun. That's not comfortable. But sin's got to be reproved. We had to be reproved for our sin. That's the first step to repentance, is having our sins discovered to ourselves. That had to happen to us. But darkness is only made known by the light. It's the only way darkness is made known is by light. And without reproof in the light of Christ, a sinner won't ever see their darkness. Now the second part declares that light is the only thing that reveals sin. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatever discovers sin is light. That's the only thing that discovers sin is light. That's a simple thing, but what he's saying is darkness will never be seen by darkness. Only the light of Christ makes us see our sin. Now here's the point. We must be walking as children of light. And walking here, that's what he's talking about most. But walking includes the methods we use. It includes the means of grace. It includes the preaching of the gospel, speaking the truth in light. It includes the way we walk and the way we talk. So the light of Christ is going to be the only way sinners are going to see their sin and flee to Christ. Now next, Paul gives an example. And he gives us an example by showing us this is exactly what God does when He reproves through the gospel. Look at this. First of all, God wakes us with reproof. Verse 14. Wherefore, He saith, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead. That's the reproof. He's not quoting any particular scripture. The wherefore refers back to the verse just before it. He said there, all things that are reproved are manifest by the light. You have to reprove in light. And light has to include reproof. And he says, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's the reason God says to us in the gospel, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. There's the reproof. And as he gives the reproof, Christ shall give thee light. You see that? Those two things always come together. The reproof and the light. Because otherwise, how are you going to wake up? How's a dead sinner going to wake up unless Christ gives him light? He's not. And how's he going to see unless Christ gives him light. He won't. And so with the reproof in the gospel, Christ gives the light. It's the same thing he said in the Valley of Dry Bones. You remember that? He told the preacher, he said, You say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There's the reproof. You're dry bones, he said. Now hear what the Lord's saying. And he says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. You see, with reproof comes the life and the light. That's what he's saying there. Paul says, so reprove the works of darkness in light. And he said, and for only the light's going to manifest darkness. And he said, here's proof. This is just how God brings us out of darkness. This is how he brought us from the dead, regenerated us, and this is how he continues to reprove us when we fall into sin. He speaks the reproof. And he gives the light to understand it and hear it and see it at the same time. All right, now look. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 14:24. And I'm going to show you this is the power of that reproof accompanied with the light of Christ. This is the power of reproof that's given in light, that's accompanied by Christ's light made effectual in the heart. Here's the power of it. This is the effect it produces. Verse 24. If all prophesy, that is preach the gospel in light, that's our means. That's the fruitful work of light, is to preach the truth of Christ. He says, and there come in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. When Christ goes into his heart, he's going to be convinced of his sin because he doesn't believe on Christ. He's going to be convinced of righteousness because Christ has gone to the Father. And he's going to be convinced of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He's going to be convinced by the preaching of light, by the light of Christ entering into him. And he says, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. That's how he sees the darkness of his heart, by this light. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You see, you could go with somebody into fellowship with the works of darkness. They're never going to fall down on their face and worship God by anything you tell them and say, God's in you of truth. There's light in you. They're never going to say that. You might think that fellowshipping with works of darkness will gain the friendship of the sinner and then you can bear witness to them or whatever. That's exactly what false religion does. That's how they got started, having sports in church and programs in church and all these camps and everything else. They try to make it look appealing and they say, well, give me a hair like that and then we'll sneak up on them with the gospel. And end up having to pay for all those things. And if they preach the gospel, nobody would be there anyway. So they have to just water it down. That stuff don't work. It just don't work. It's not love to a sinner. It's not glorifying to a Savior. That's why they water down the sermons and just preach on current events. That won't save. If we make sinners feel like we're in fellowship with them while they walk in darkness, it only makes them feel comfortable to go on in sin, and they'll never see their need of Christ. You just think, if a child was about to step off a cliff and plunge to their death, and you had light, but you didn't show them the light, and you just want to be friends with them instead, you just watch them walk right off the cliff. They'd never see light in darkness. You got to give them light. I know that sounds simple, but we need to hear this, because this is so. We don't get this. We think, there's a part of us that thinks I can befriend somebody by walking in darkness with them and somehow I can make them see light by that. That won't happen. God our Father chose us. Here's another thing. He chose us and He sent Christ who laid down His life for us and He regenerated us and He gave us the privilege to hold forth the gospel. So He says to us now, you want to repay me? He says, walk as children of light and speak the truth. Speak of Christ the light. Because that's how you're going to bear witness. Now think about this. This is my last point. The way that unregenerate sinners naturally vex us with unfruitful works of darkness in their walk and in their talk. Aren't you vexed when you're around people in unfruitful works of darkness, whether it's immorality or whether it's religion, false religion? Either way, it just vexes me to be around them. Well, that's how we ought to naturally reprove them, by walking as children of light. They ought to naturally just be vexed to be around us because we're children of light. That means not putting on an act, just how we naturally are and how we naturally speak. It ought to vex them. And what our text is telling us is if sinners do feel comfortable around us as much as they do around their evil companions, then we're in fellowship with the works of darkness. That's reproving to us, isn't it? If they're just as comfortable being around us as they are any of their other evil companions, we're fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. We're making them feel comfortable. Now let's read the rest out. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means with diligence. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, buying every opportunity, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is what the will of the Lord is that we're here and preached here. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That is, with wine itself and with that intoxicating, unfruitful work of false religion, like the Nicolaitans or the doctrine of Balaam or any of those things. Free will works religion. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we did that right there, folks will hear, they'll see light and they'll hear light. It's up to God to bless it to their heart and make it effectual, but that's how they'll see light and hear light. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for your word. We pray now that you'd shine light in our hearts. Make us see the glory of God. Make us see, have the knowledge of you in the face of Christ Jesus. Make us to walk as children of light. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.